وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are listening to the voice of Radio Al Ansar on 103 FM stereo and also on channel 596 on your World Space satellite receiver. A very warm welcome to you for this 16th day of Shawwal 1424. And alhamdulillah, every evening we are honored. But I think this evening, indeed, we are very, very honored. And the reason being, we have with us in our studios our learned and honored guest, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah. So it is indeed a very great honor for a scholar in like Mufti Sahib to be with us in the studios. To our listeners, once again, if you do have any questions, you could call us right now on 208-1661. And if you're out of Durban, then the area code is 031. For our international listeners and also for our listeners that do not have a landline, then only you may SMS your questions to me on 082-354-9412. I'll repeat that, 082-354-9412. Without further delay, it's time for us to welcome our learned and esteemed scholar, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah. Mufti Sahib, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Assalam Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh.
Mufti Sahib, we must thank you very, very much. It is indeed a very great honor for myself and I think for the station for us to have you here in person.
Alhamdulillah.
Sure. Mufti Sahib, to begin with this evening's Make Up Your Mind Q&A session, I think today we move on to the Rabbana, that's from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah of the glorious Quran, the third part, the third juz, or the third sipara of the Quran also, and that is ayah number 53. Inshallah, we will request Mufti Sahib to translate this Rabbana and also to give us a simple a commentary on this Rabbana. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين صدق الله العظيم. To our listeners, for those of you that are following this Rabbana, and if you are using a Quran with a 13 line page, then this is on page number 78, ayah number 53 of Surah Ali Imran. You'll now request our learned scholar, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah, to say a few words on this Rabbana. Mufti Sahib.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Firstly, a simple translation. Our Rabb, we believe in that which you have revealed, and we follow the Rasul. Write us, meaning list us, amongst those who witness the truth. Now if we look at the Rabbana closely, and if we have got the Quran, as Hafiz Sahib has requested, then we'll notice that there is a tajdeed, amanna, meaning, and now when we translate, we believe, and we will put in brackets, we believe completely, or we believe conclusively, or we believe with certainty, or we believe with firm faith without a shadow of doubt. What do we believe in? We believe in what has been revealed upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, it is our aqeedah that there were 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam, of which 313 received kitabs, and of those there were four major ones. the Zabur to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, the Torah to Musa alayhi salam, the Injil to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and Quran Kareem to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. As far as the kitabs are concerned, that we believe in the original scriptures. As Muslims, we believe in the original Injil, in the original Torah, in the original Zabur. But after the coming of the Quran Kareem, which is the kitab that abrogates, which now is the final kitab, there is no other kitab. The best of kitabs has come. The sun has arrived. There is no need for the candlelight now. So we are now going to put our faith in Quran Kareem, which has abrogated all other previous kitabs. Because all other previous kitabs we have, our scholars have conclusively proven that they are interpolated, additions have been made on it, subtractions have been made on it, and we do not believe in that which has been tampered with. Quran Kareem, alhamdulillah, from the time of revelation, passing through the stage of compilation, right up to now, there is no interpolation, no addition, no subtraction, and we believe in it now. And also, we follow the Rasul. Elsewhere in the Quran Kareem, it is very clear, may yutiyu Allah wa Rasulahu faqad faza fawzan azima. Whosoever follows Allah and His Rasul has achieved a great success. That means in following Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lies our salvation, lies our success in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirat. There are many ayats in the Quran Kareem. Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. Muslims, follow Allah and follow His Rasul and those in authority amongst you. And whosoever follows the Rasul has indeed followed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, third ayat. So instruction has been given in the Quran Kareem, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got uswatun hasana, has got a perfect noble pattern of conduct for us to emulate and follow. We follow him, we are successful. We do not follow him, we are not successful. We do not adhere to his commands, we are in great difficulty. But if we follow the sunnah closely, the closer we go to the sunnah, the better for us. And list us amongst those who witness. Witness what? This word shahid has been used. Now this word means to witness, and in this ayat it means to witness the truth. The truth of the Quran Kareem, the truth of the message of Islam, the haqqaniyat, the truthfulness of Islam, Quran Kareem, etc. Originally, the mahal of this ayat, the position of this ayat is, the dua was made by the helpers of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Now the helpers of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam are called Hawareen. And Hawareen, why they are called Hawareen in the Quran Kareem? For various reasons. One reason is that the Hawareen are those who used to dress in a particular manner. Secondly, that the word Hawareen in itself means aiders, helpers, supporters. Thirdly, Hawareen were those disciples of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam who were washermen. And these washermen who were disciples of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam were called Hawareen because they used to clean the dirt filth from the cloth. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had cleansed their hearts from the filth of shirk and brought them to Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. Therefore their hearts were clean, just as they were cleaning the cloth and making it clean. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had cleansed their hearts and made it clean, therefore they were called Hawareen. And when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam asked his nation that who amongst them will be his helpers, they agreed, the disciples agreed, and then they recited this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should list them amongst those who witness the truth and who adhere to the commands and rules and regulations as expounded by the Nabi of the time.
JazakAllah for that explanation, Mufti Sahab. For our listeners, Alhamdulillah, on every Q&A program so far, Mufti Sahab has been speaking on one of the Rabbanas, and inshallah, we hope that by the end of our broadcast, we have completed all 40 Rabbanas, and all these Rabbanas do appear in the Quran Kareem. The Rabbana that Mufti Sahab had spoken on today was from Surah Ali Imran. That's the third surah in the glorious Quran, ayah number 53. Right now, it's approximately 1800 hours and 16 minutes. If you do have any questions for our learned scholar, Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib is right here in the studio with us. You could call on 208-1661. If you're out of Durban, then the area code is 031. Brother Rashad is waiting to take down your questions. For our international listeners and for our listeners that do not have a landline, then only you may SMS your questions to me on 082-354-9412. Mufti Sahib, moving on to our next question.
Could we discuss something about Hajj or Medina or something?
Yeah, I think can we begin with Medina to Munawwara, Mufti Sahib?
Yeah, agreed and promised that because we're getting our Hajj seminar on Sunday, inshallah, which we should be addressing also. And I promise that we will discuss. Yesterday we spoke about the word Hajj itself. Today I would like to proceed with the blessedity of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he left Makkatul Mukarrama, and prior to that the Sahaba were given permission to make the second hijrat. Because first they were given permission to go to Ethiopia, Abyssinia, that was the first hijrat. And the second hijrat permission was given. And last, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made the hijrat. Here I would like to mention something, that the hijrat is a voluntary migration of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not as some orientalist and also some Muslims who lack knowledge, they translate the hijrat as the flight of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was fleeing from Makkah. No, he was waiting for the divine command. When the divine command came, then he went and told Hazrat Abu Bakr, that's a lengthy 1 hour procedure, how they came away to Madinatul Munawwara. At that stage, Medina was called Yathrib. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed that name. And this name had been given originally by one of the sons of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam after the flood, who settled in that region. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown the city of Medina, the locality of Madinatul Munawwara, prior to him coming there. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he changed the name. And now ulama ikram have written that if a person persists and repeatedly calls Medina Yathrib, the kafara for that is the person should make tawbah, that he must not call Medina Yathrib any longer. Only for educational purposes, etc., he can use that name. When Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came there, there was extreme fever. There were two problems. One was extreme fever, and secondly, no one from the Muslims, they were the women folk were not giving birth to any child. So the munafiqeen always try to look for a loophole, try to look for a excuse to laugh, mock, jeer at the Muslims, began to say that the Muslims have come here and now Allah is angry with them and not giving them any children. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, who was the first Muslim to be born, and also Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for the fever to go away, and it was like literally went away, personified and went away to a place called Jufa. And then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Medina is Tuba, also a place that purifies. We get in the hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, prior to the day of judgment, there will be three vibrations, and Madinatul Munawwara will throw out the hypocrites and munafiqeen from Medina, and the hypocrites who are lurking in Medina will be removed. And it is stated that Medina cleans out itself like how dirt is cleaned in the furnace from the iron. And then, inshallah, there will be pure souls living in Madinatul Munawwara, ready to face any onslaught from all the enemies of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, is Madinatul Munawwara, or is it, or was it known by any other names besides the one that Mufti Sahib has mentioned?
Yes. That was the name prior to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam coming there. However, one interesting hadith I'll mention here, that when Mahdi comes, after that Dajjal will come, and Dajjal will come as far as they say Khaybar, and from there he'll be able to see Madinatul Munawwara. And Madinatul Munawwara, it is stated, will be guarded by Malaika, and will be guarded by angels, and they'll be having their swords unsheathed, waiting for Dajjal and preventing him from entry. Dajjal will not be able to enter Makkah or Madinatul Munawwara. And Dajjal, it is stated in the hadith, that he will look at Medina and he will say that that is the white fortress. That is the white fortress wherein Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lies. Now, if a person knows the current structure of Madinatul Munawwara, it looks exactly like a white fortress. It is super beautiful, and both the harams, the Madinatul Munawwara and the haram of Makkatul Mukarrama, they are excellent in architecture. And if anybody has to make a comparison or draw any merits, they'll be the best architectural structures on the surface of the earth currently.
Shukran. Mufti Sahib, some times back I have heard, I think, you know, the Naat recites also, I think, saying the word Taiba for Medina.
Taiba, they are books written, a very good book to read for the potential Hujjaj, Hujjaj plural of Haji, that is the Fazail of Hajj, the virtues of Hajj by Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. It's excellent. It will give you a lot of details about Medina, the adab of Medina, and the benefits of the walking Hajj, and the benefits of Hajj itself, and the benefits of Makkah even. So, and many names have been given also concerning Madinatul Munawwara.
Shukran. Mufti Sahib, on this topic of Madinatul Munawwara concerning Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could Mufti Sahib perhaps say a few words on the section in Masjid al-Nabawi that's known to be the section from Jannah, Rawdatan min Riyadil Jannah?
These days there is a portion covered by a white carpet. It is indicated by a white carpet, and it is laid to indicate to the public that this is the portion between the blessed grave of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the member of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that this portion is in Jannah. Here there is also a very nice statement made that Medina has got Jannat. And also, secondly, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they are already in Jannah. So when they are in Jannah, the enemies of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, the Shaheen, especially Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they can be very jealous about this, that Nabi Akram, they are lying near Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. From the jurisprudic point of view, that remember, it is not farz to make any salat there, it is not wajib to make any salat there, it is not sunnah to make any salat there, it is good to make some salat there. Why we are saying that? That Haji, if he goes for Hajj, and because he is not so strong, or he is not physically in that position to reach there, then he must not feel deprived. He must not say, oh, I went to Medina, but I did not go on the white carpet and make salat. No, he should not feel deprived. As long as he got himself into the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tried to make his 40 salat with takbir tahrima, takbir ula, that is meritorious for him, rewarding for him, that is good for him, that is excellent for him. So he should not go there, push people and fight with people and quarrel with people and try to make salat on the white piece, on the jannah tukra, or the piece of from jannah. Also, another thing is that these days, in fact, it was last year that due to some renovation in the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they should normally, what's a pattern? 1 hour or so after the Isha Salat, they close all the doors of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But last year we noticed that they were leaving it open for over 2.5 hours. So a person who is going to Madinatul Munawwara this year should be alert, and he should try to find out, is the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam open? Because during that time, that area which we call the piece of Jannat is vacant. A person can access it, a person can get there, and a person is able to make salat in peace, and inshallah he will be able to make his dua in peace. Some ulama made an interesting point. They said, try to go, at least if you don't have time or don't have opportunity to make salat there, go and stand there. And they say the secret behind is that on the day of judgment, you may tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I went to Medina and I entered Jannat. Now when I have entered Jannat, Ya Allah, do not remove me from Jannat.
Shukran for that. Mufti Sahib, concerning the performance of 40 Salah in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could Mufti Sahib say a few words on that, please? The significance of that.
Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith has stated very clearly that it has got tremendous benefit. First of all, let me explain to you that these 40 Salahs are referring to the Farz Salat, and refers to performing the Farz Salat Takbir-e-Tahrima, that is the Takbir-e-Ula. And you should be in the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what I would like to caution, the person who is going for Hajj and he goes to Madinatul Munawwara, then especially for Ziyarah, when he goes for Ziyarah, then he must make sure that he is back in time for the Farz Salat. That he is back in time for the Farz Salat. Sometimes the Ziyarah is given preference over performing of Farz Salat in the Masjid. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has enumerated various benefits of making that 40 Salats. One is a person will be saved from Azab. Secondly, the person will be saved from Nifaq. Now, these are tremendous benefits recorded in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, remember another thing. From jurisprudic point of view, it is not farz, it is not wajib, it is not sunnah. It is good, it is preferable to perform your 40 salat. That is why when you design your package, then design it for at least 8 nights in Madinatul Munawwara.
Shukran, Mufti Sahib. The next question that we have, a sister has called in. She said her husband has already left for Hajj, and she was supposed to leave with her brother, but unfortunately her brother fell and fractured his spine. Can the sister go with someone else if her brother doesn't recover or doesn't get better, Mufti Sahib?
In this case here, for example, the Saudi authorities are very cautious about this. And first of all, you'll have to go through the Saudi authorities and explain it. Some of the ulama ikram are of the opinion that in this case here, only this case, if there is someone to leave her at the airport and her husband who is already there, he must take the necessary permission to come back to Jeddah, which is not very difficult, to take the necessary permission to come back to Jeddah and receive her. When he does so, then she can go and join him there.
Shukran for that, Mufti Sahab. So the next question that has just come in, if a person passes away and the body is actually gone for ghusl, can the people at this household read for him before the body arrives or before the ghusl?
Let alone that, before the body arriving, for example, the person has been informed and he is 4 hours away, 5 hours away, that listen, your brother has passed away, your mother has passed away, and this person nowadays has to travel to reach to the place of janaza. Now on the en route now, there is no question whether he can see the janaza or whether he is there in the home. En route, he's got now 3 hours, 4 hours while he's driving, while he's sitting as a passenger on the aircraft, or he's sitting as a passenger in the car, he can start reading and making isal e sawab, conferring sawab onto the deceased. So let alone being near the house, he can be thousands of kilometers away, he can still be making isal e sawab for the deceased, irrespective of whether he comes there for the janaza salat or not. In the case, the question that has been posed, that the person can definitely make isal alayhi sawab for the deceased prior to the arrival of the body to the house of the where the janaza is going to be lifted from. Yeah, I would like to mention one point, that we should be a little bit more cautious and disciplined as far as timings are concerned. That alhamdulillah, now in certain areas, when they stipulate 3 o'clock is lifting up time and 3:15 will be salat janaza, then alhamdulillah, in certain areas they are extremely cautious, they are careful about it, and they are very punctual. But in other cases, they do not worry and they do not take into consideration those who have come from far, and they want the times to be adhered to. So we should also try to adhere to times.
Inshallah. Mufti Sahab, this question comes from a mother. She wants to know that if she can go and make Hajj or perform Hajj for her son who is already marhum or who has already passed away.
Prior to that, let's just mention the 3 things which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated about reciting 40 salats. The reward is, one is saving from nifaq, one is saved from the punishment, and one is saving from the fire of hell. So there are 3 things. One is punishment, freedom from fire of hell, and one is freedom from nifaq. And these are very huge boons and favors and sawabs. The lady who has posed the question, she can definitely go and perform, provided obviously she's got her mahram. That means she has got someone to travel with whom she cannot marry, her husband, her brother, or another son of hers, or her son-in-law. Then she can go and perform that Hajj ibadal. That what we call that Hajj ibadal nafil. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is stated that inshallah she does that, then the deceased son will receive the reward.
Mufti Sahab, if the sister concerned here, if she has not actually performed her Hajj and she wants to perform this Hajj on behalf of her son, what's the ruling on that?
There was a discussion about this, and it has been discussed in the light of a hadith which appears in Abu Dawud Sharif and Nasai, and various ulama have questioned it, and ulama Zafar Usman Tanvi Ramtul Ali has also written extensively about this ruling here. And one is, if she has got enough money to make Hajj a badal, that means she has got enough money for Hajj to become compulsory, obligatory for herself. So why must she go and perform a nafil Hajj ibadal because she loves her son who has passed away, etc.? She should worry about the fact that Hajj has now become obligatory upon herself. So Allah Rabbul Izzat is not going to question her about her son's nafil Hajj ibadal, Allah Rabbul Izzat is going to question her about her hajj, which has become obligatory to perform and to render and to execute. So she should be concerned about that. So she should get her priorities right and perform her obligatory hajj, provided she got her mihram. However, if she is obstinate and she goes in that state and perform a nafil hajj, a badal for her son, that will be valid.
Mufti Sahib, can umrah also be performed on behalf of the marhumin or the marhumat? Can tawaf be performed? Could Mufti Sahib please enlighten us on this?
As soon as a person, for example, a person is going for hajj and he is going to perform either the Qiran Hajj or the Tamattu Hajj. The Tamattu Hajj obviously is where we got two ihrams, meaning one ihram will be used to perform the Umrah and the next ihram utilized to perform the Hajj. And the Qiran, one ihram, and in that ihram the Umrah and the Hajj is going to be performed. Now, when in Tamattu Hajj, similarly, that one cannot make niyat for faraz. A person performs Maghrib Salat and say, this is for my deceased father who never make his Maghrib Salat. That cannot be done. But nafil, any nafil action, optional action, when done and rendered, the sawab of it can be conferred to another person, male or female. And he understands something else too, Hafizah, that alive or dead.
Alive or dead.
Yes. Many people feel that Isal is sawab, as soon as when we use this word, what flashes in the brain and the mind?
Marhum.
The person must be dead. So Isal is sawab, you can make for Hafiz Sahib and myself also, make one nafil tawaf when you go for Hajj and Umrah and say, this is for what we learned here, or this is what we have learned from the station, and or you can make for anybody who is alive. Regard this as you got a bank balance and you've got money in that. Now you can give and transfer that money to whomsoever you want to. You can transfer that money to the living person. So the person who earns some reward, he can give it to the living or the dead. So the nafil action, provided it is a nafil and it has to be a good action. A person cannot go now steal and then decide to give charity out of stolen money and do some Robin Hood trick or something and decide that he's doing a wonderful action. So the first of all, that action that is done has to be sanctioned in the light of Sharia. The action has to be good in the light of Sharia. The action has to be valid in the light of Sharia. Now when you earn some reward, you can give it to the living or you could give it to the dead.
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib, that's a very interesting point, and I think we request our listeners, that those that are going for Hajj, those that will be performing Umrah also, that you remember us, and I'm sure you can actually make this direct deposit into our account. Mufti Sahib?
Yeah, I would like to mention one point, that when a person goes to Makkah, and Alhamdulillah, most South Africans perform the Tamattu Hajj. And when they come out of Ihram, now the question arises, must I make Tawaf or must I make Umrah? So the simple, easy law is that Kasrate Tawaf, Kasrate Umrah se better hai. That more Tawaf is better than more Umrah. Reason and rationale behind this is that if you have to go and make an Umrah, that means you will have to go out of the Haram, and outside the Haram there are taxis there and the taxi drivers are shouting Chota Umrah, Chota Umrah in Urdu. So you tell them to take you maybe 5 riyals for going, 5 riyals for coming, and they will take you to Tanim, and they will take you to Masjid Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That is the closest miqat for the small Umrah. Now you will go there and put your ihram on and come back and perform tawaf. Then you'll perform Safa Marwa, and after that Halaq, etc. You'll make a whole Umrah. But if you have to be in the Haram itself, during the time taken for you to perform this entire Umrah, you could have performed 4 tawafs. You could have performed easily 4 or 5 tawafs comfortably. So, and tawaf, it is a hadith in Tirmidhi that if a person makes 50 tawafs for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his sins are wiped out to such an extent that it is as if to say he becomes so pure like the day his mother gave birth to him. So the potential haji should program himself, herself, that I'm going to be in Makkatul Mukarramah for so many nights, so many days, and I should make an average of so many tawafs per night or day, and try to do this before the days of Hajj. Generally, after the days of Hajj, the Haji is focused on coming back home, and he's worried about his overweight, and he's worried about his luggage, etc., his ticket, and he's chasing and running behind his agent. So try to do it, and after 11 o'clock or 10:30, the haram becomes quite and there is ease there, a person can make a lot of tawaf.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sam. So the next question that comes actually to my mind is of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there any recordings of the number of Hajj or Umrah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed?
This one you could have asked and given one big reward for that, because latest researchers are showing different figures, and most scholars will not know the latest figures. The latest figures, as researched by Imam al-Hind, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, he was an extreme big scholar of Hadith, Maulana Habibur Rahman Azmi, Rahmatullah Alayh. He was such a giant of a scholar in Hadith that he is the one responsible for bringing or editing the Musannif Ibn Shaybah, Rahmatullah Alayh, which is the teacher of Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullah Alayh, over 18 volumes. Now, he has written a book lately on Hajj, and in the introductory remarks, he states that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made two Hajjs. One was prior to the proclamation of Nubuwwat, and one was after the proclamation of Nubuwwat, which we generally call the farewell pilgrimage. As far as the Umrahs, his research is showing 4. His research is showing 4 Umrahs.
Shukran for that, Mufti Sahab. The next question, Mufti Sahab, that has come in, what precautions can be taken by 2 boys that are 13 years old and a girl of 15 when going for Hajj? Or what advice does Mufti Sahab have for the teenagers or for our young boys and girls that are going for Hajj?
This question, although sounding very simple, but unfortunately it has become a sore point, and it has become a point of embarrassment, especially for those who are schooled in the Western style of education, which demoralizes a person and takes out the quality of shyness and embarrassment from a person. And unfortunately, when people lose the concept of hijab and they lose the concept of separation of genders, and when they don't value the places that they are going to, Madinatul Munawwara and Makkatul Mukarramah, then unfortunately at times South African youth had to be deported from Makkatul Mukarramah. I'm very sad to say this, and embarrassed also, that they had to be deported because of irregular, sinister, immodest and immoral behavior. This is extremely sad. The South African youth, if they are of that age and they are going to the haram, they have to go under proper supervision. And those who are supervising them must be pious and righteous and knowledgeable. And they must constantly teach the youth the value, significance and importance of these places of the Haram. Otherwise, unfortunately, you find South Africans sitting on the stairways attached to the Mataf area and passing remarks and wasting their time. They are young, healthy, physically fit. Instead of making tawaf, they sit there, observe other South Africans, comment on them, jeer at them, laugh at them, and the other simple folk, unfortunately, who come from various other areas, they even try to coax them and try to tease them. So this is a grave matter. And as far as when they are in their rooms, etc., also, they should be strict hijab laws applied. Otherwise, remember that shaitan, according to the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shaitan runs in the blood of human beings. Meaning that shaitan can mislead a person irrespective where he is. And to go there, it is unanimous according to the scholars of Islam, to go to these blessed places and sin, the weight of the sin and the severity of the sin increases tremendously. So a person should definitely abstain from sinning, especially in those places.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahab. This is Make Up Your Mind Q&A session, and once again, we do have our learned and honored guest, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Sahab, Hafizahullah, right here in the studio with us. Mufti Sahab, the next question that has been SMS: can a sacrifice or can a qurbani or udhiyah be made for a deceased person, and how should the meat be distributed, Mufti Sahab?
Do you want to go for an ad break first?
Mufti Sahab, I think inshallah we'll do
this. You'll do this, sir. Okay, you'll repeat the question, inshallah.
Mufti Sahab, the SMS that has come through: can a sacrifice, that's qurbani or udhiyah, be made for a deceased person, and how should the meat be distributed?
Obviously, a person is going to make this, and generally people do this, that when they, especially, they are making a sacrifice of a big animal, cow, buffalo, camel, then there are many shares. And a person generally, what he does, he says that one share for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala reward that person. Then he feels that I will make another share for my late father, late mother. Then exactly how normal distribution is taken place for qurbani. Now this one third, one third, one third. Understand this. This qurbani that we are talking about is not dam-e shukr. The qurbani that we are talking about is the normal qurbani, and also inclusive, let us say inclusive, is the dam-e shukr too. Because the law of the qurbani and dam-e shukr is one. Only that the dam-e shukr, the mahal of it, is it has to be done in the boundaries of the haram. The boundary of the other sacrifice, you can do it anywhere. Now what you find in the kitabs, one third, one third, one third. Now this is preferable. And this is mustahab. Mustahab, translation, liked, desired, preferable, good, nice. But it is not farz. A person, for example, a poor person, he can take all the meat. A person, he can take all the meat and keep it for himself. Or another person, even if he's poor or rich, he can distribute all the meat also. No problem with that, alhamdulillah. So he can distribute, provided the recipient has to be those who deserve it. In these cases, yeah, the Muslims.
And this question, Mufti Sahab: should a person who is going for Hajj leave money behind for qurbani, or can he do make or perform this qurbani right there?
First of all, the second qurbani that we call this, one is dam-e shukr, that I told you has to be done there. The second qurbani, if he is sahib mal, that means if he is sahib nisab, one giving zakat, and he is a muqim, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, that means he's staying in Makkah al-Mukarramah for 15 days prior to the 8th of Zil Hajj. Must understand this law, 15 days prior to the 8th of Zil Hajj will make a person, make a Haji, a Muqim. And if he's got so much wealth that he's a Sahib Amal, then he can make his Qurbani there, or he can do it elsewhere. However, if he's going to do it, for example, even if he's in South Africa, and he's going to do his Qurbani, his Udhiya, in another place, then one factor he has to worry about, that if the cost, for example, hypothetically speaking, if the cost of the goat equals 100 rand in another country, he has to give more than that. Why? Because 100 rand he cannot send, there has to be what they call transfer duties, transfer fees. He cannot take it out from there. He has to pay for the animal separate. That's a separate issue. Also, he cannot send only money for the sacrifice and expect someone else to pay for the slaughtering, for the knife, for the rope. Generally, sometimes when the brothers go to make their own sacrifices, the Dam Shukr in Makkah, when they come to realize this masail, that the person, he wants viewing money, he wants knife money, he wants rope money, he wants slaughtering money, he wants skinning money, he wants loading money. After that, you realize how expensive it becomes. Yeah, also, we have to realize something, that when you're transferring the money, you must keep all these costs in mind and then transfer the money for your sacrifice, for your qurbani, especially when it is to another country.
JazakAllah, Mufti Sahab. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of our program, as it's now going to be time for the Maghrib Salah. Once again, we'd like to take this opportunity to thank our learned and honored guest, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Hussein Sahab, Hafizahullah, for traveling over 600-700 kilometers and coming here into our studios. From me, Hussein Wadi, fi amanillah, ma'assalama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.